Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bill Whalen, fellow at the Hoover Institution. He is the host of Politics and Policy about California's challenges. He's also the host of The Goodfellas. Three of his colleagues discuss the national interest. Right now, part of the national interest is, what about Elon Musk? Doge is nearing the end of its mandate in some fashion and tallying up what it saved, what it cost. There are lots of opinions, but we're not talking Doge. We're talking California. Bill, a very good evening to you. Musk has enough to do. There's SpaceX. There are a couple of other companies, one called Neuralink. There's Starlink itself, which we're talking on. And then there's Tesla, the automobile manufacturer that momentarily is the center of protests, I understand. You, however, have a column at California on your mind that is a task that Musk may enjoy, and he's not responsible for anything but success. What is it, Bill? Introduce us. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So what I wrote in my column was the classic case of the last thing that Elon Musk is going to do. My suggestion was if he is bored, has time on his hands, is looking for a new venture now that he apparently is downsizing his role in the Doge effort, why not come to California, John, and rescue our beleaguered, struggling adventure in high-speed rail, which has been going on since 2008. Why Musk? He's futuristic. He's inventive. He can run things. And if you look at the way he's built cars and sent rockets into the ether, maybe a good guy to try to figure out how to put a choo-choo together in California. But I don't think he'd do it, John, because the system is a mess.
Now, this started as an ambition of Jerry Brown, as I recall.
Well, it actually dates back further than that, John. There's always been talk about trying to do something better and faster with rail in California, the dream being simply to connect people between Los Angeles and California and do so in about 2 hours and 40 minutes. And why? Because when you put that up against riding in an airplane, the plane ride between the two cities is about an hour, but you put in the time getting there and getting through security and city ground and so forth. So 2 hours and 40 minutes is a trade-off. This goes back to the 1990s when California created high-speed rail authorities to start looking at this, and they came up with a design that they thought worked pretty well, and then that design quickly got thrown into the dumper. Why? Because the design they had took the train up Interstate 5, which is the West Coast spine, the equivalent of I-95 on the East Coast. It did not go through a lot of small towns in the Central Valley. It basically was in the business of trying to get from point A to point B, LA to San Francisco, in a hurry. Well, politicians and lawmakers looked at that and realized if we're into high-speed rail, we got to get votes and we've got to get public support and we want to reward our districts. And so they came up with a different plan, John, that takes it through the 99 and becomes much more complicated. Voters in 2008 approved a $9.95 billion bond, which was a down payment on the system, John, that in theory, let me underline the word theory, John, in theory was going to cost $33 billion and would have been completed by 2020. Well, John, we are 5 years past 2020. The high-speed rail has not been constructed. There is talk about getting a 171-mile segment of it done maybe by 2033. And, John, the projected cost of it is not $33 billion anymore. It's estimated to be up to $128 billion. And the problem, John, is you look at the current money California has right now on hand, that's about $100 billion shy of where they need to be to get it done. So that's the premise of this column. They're $100 billion shy. They're way behind on schedule. Is this ever going to happen?
Yes, it's going to happen. But I want to check in on Gavin Newsom.
Okay.
First, two questions. Would Gavin Newsom welcome Elon Musk rescuing high-speed rail? And does Gavin Newsom have an opinion of this woeful record?
Let's take them in reverse order. So when Newsom first came to office, John, in his first State of the State address to the legislature, he sent everybody into a frenzy because he said the system right now is not viable. And so people thought, holy smokes, Gavin Newsom wants to kill high-speed rail. Kind of like what he talked about, John, with boys and girls sports, a controversy a couple weeks ago he got into. He quickly had to backpedal and say, no, I don't want to abandon the system. We just have to do it smarter. But the problem again, John, is there's not the money there. You asked, would he bring Elon Musk in? No. And I could preface a no before that, but this is a family viewing show. So, no, he and Musk have gone from being kind of friends, buddies. When Musk years ago came up with a Tesla sports car, Newsom made sure that he was on the short list to get one first. There were pals hanging around in Silicon Valley, but them days have long gone. It's now very personal, given Musk's involvement in Doge. And Musk has made it very, very personal, too, John, selling his homes in California, making a point to move to Austin, making a point to take SpaceX, the rocket company, with him, making a point to take Tesla headquarters with him, making a point to take X, formerly Twitter, with him, and at times dumping on California. So, no, they are no longer buddies.
Is there an investigation underway as to where all that money went by Congress?
Yeah, that's so Congress is looking at this a couple ways. Number one is they want accountability of where this money so far has been spent. And they have spent about $28 billion so far. But then secondly, they want to kill it as best they can. And how do you kill it from a congressional effort, John? You just make sure the federal government doesn't put money into the system and that any money may be lying around or maybe kind of still going to California vis-a-vis what the Biden administration did in the way of infrastructure, that it comes to a halt. And so if the federal funding ends, John, then what do you do? Well, the state of California could build it, John, but the state of California doesn't have that kind of money. The only way they could do it, John, would be to issue a lot of bonds, which is complicated in terms of your state's fiscal future. They're not going to dare do a tax to get it done. They probably have to look for foreign investment. So how many countries in the world, John, have $100 billion to spend on this kind of stuff? I can think of only one. But are you going to tell me Gavin Newsom is going to allow the Chinese to come in and build this?
I don't know the name of the road, but there's a road somewhere in the Central Valley that runs beside or underneath an elevated part of the railroad that was built early on and just sits there.
My Hoover colleague, Victor Davis Hanson, John, has summed it up best. He lives in the Central Valley. He lives not far from the construction. And his line is, worth the extent of, I live 10 miles from Stonehenge.
That's what you're anticipating. It will be there when we're dust.
Well, this is where it really rankles you, John. Look, history is replete with stories of bad government projects. If you're aficionado of the Panama Canal, go read up on what happened to the French when they tried to dig a canal in the 19th century. Bad things can happen. But the problem with California is not only all this money being spent on it, John, but if you do bring it to a complete halt, you do have this construction already done in terms of elevated structures and cement bridges and rails and things like that. You know, it's going to sit there. It's going to be just, unless you want to turn it into a museum to educate your children on the woes of bad government planning, there you are.
As I recall, you have a mandate to go all electric by such and such a date, and that the railroad was part of that plan.
No, the mandates are still in there, and there's, you know, one of the ways you still try to sell high-speed rail is that's going to be electric and non-polluting and so forth. In fact, part of the revenue for the construction comes from California climate change and carbon offsetting revenue that we have in the state. But again, John, I just come back to one thing. Number one, they keep building it and the delays keep kicking in. Keep in mind, we talk about that segment I mentioned, the Central Valley, that very small segment. They have a projected date on that of the early 2030s. But when you push high-speed rail on when the LA end is going to be open or San Francisco, they will not give you a date on any time of end of construction. So there's no practical end in sight for this. But then secondly, John, you know, maybe build it and they would come and they would write on it, but there's just not the money to build it. And so the state's headed for a reckoning on this. And maybe one way the state's going to do the reckoning, John, is let the voters decide. You can easily put a measure on the initiative ballot in California and say no more. And if I were doing it, I'd probably say no more high-speed rail. We'll take the money for high-speed rail and repurpose it into more practical, more intelligent local rail in, you know, cities like L.A. and San Diego and San Francisco, and see what the voters think. And then you have a huge fight, John, because then, and maybe this is what Elon Musk will get into, John, maybe he'd help underwrite that ballot. Then you'd have a real wonderful ballot fight between Mr. Musk, who, even though Tesla profits are down, the last I checked, he's worth about $330 billion. So he could probably put $50 billion into an to fight, but it'll be a fight to death between Elon and the public employees unions, who, of course, for whom this is a big, big deal.
Bill Whalen, Hoover Institution.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.